And I'd like to read, start reading with verse 6. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." And one of the things I wanted to bring up here just at the very beginning of our reading is the number of times in this chapter alone in the book of Zechariah that this name of our God, of our Lord, of our Savior, this name is mentioned 18 times in this chapter. And the name has great significance because it means causes us to think about a great, almighty, all-powerful God. And this is the one that is speaking in this chapter. He's speaking, sometimes he's doing the speaking, sometimes he speaks through the prophet Zechariah. And I just wrote a note to myself, "Lord, help me to remember and not forget who is speaking." Any place I'm reading the scriptures, that is God speaking to me. Well, here it tells us in verse 6, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts." So one of the things we brought out last week is that remnant. And we find that throughout the scriptures, and it's brought out in the book of Romans, that it is a remnant according to the election of grace. For no other reason is there a remnant. If it had not been for this remnant, this chosen of God, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been as Gomorrah. And Isaiah shares that with us in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and the west country. I will save my people." And that's the thing that natural man has no comprehension of. And that is that God actually does all the saving. He will save his people. We are the ones that kick and scream, but he's the one that saves his people from their sins. He's the one that saved these people, Israel, even out of captivity and brought them out from the east and the west, the north and the south. And verse 8, "And I'll bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I'll be their God, in truth and in righteousness." And we looked at just a little bit last week that part of the, or a wonderful statement of the everlasting covenant, the covenant of grace, is that God would be his people's God and they should be his people. This is a wonderful blessing to the church, to the saints of God, that he is their God, and that is by his choice. He determined to be the God of his people. And when he gives us grace, when he gives us the new birth, we're given the grace to thank him for that. We're given the grace to understand a little bit about that very thing. All right, as we go on now, let's drop down to verse 9. And it says here, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear, in these days, these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built." Now, there's some very interesting and very wonderful, gracious words found in this verse of scripture that we find so many times throughout the scriptures. And that is, "Be strong, ye that hear." Ye that hear. Now, a lot of people have brought to my attention that anybody can hear. Anybody can hear the word of God. Well, we have to go to the word of God on that subject. And we find that hearing is a gift of God. Now, this particular word that is used here, let's go back to the book of Genesis and read two verses. Two verses in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. The first two times that this particular Hebrew word is used, translated over here in the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and in two verses, chapter 3 verse 8 and chapter 3 verse 10, this particular word is used that we find here in the book of Zechariah. And it's used many times in the Old Testament. But here it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking." Now, this is after they fell. Now, this is one time after the fall of man that Adam, that a man, was able to hear the voice of the Lord. And it brings us out here as the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, they are demonstrating the results of the fall, but they heard the voice of the Lord coming. Now, in verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Now, this is natural man speaking, and this is a couple of verses of scripture that we see right after the fall that these two, Adam in particular, was able to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, natural man today, it's impossible for natural man, after that incident, it's impossible for natural man to hear any of the word of the Lord that is significant. We'll always find something particular in it. We'll always find some verse of scripture. We'll always find some doctrine in it. But we will not see Christ in the scriptures until it's revealed to us. Now, in the book of Revelation, seven times, chapter 2, chapter 3, would you turn there with me? We find these wonderful words expressed in this glorious book of Revelation in chapter 2. Verse 7, chapter 2 and verse 7, as we think about hearing, he told there in the book of Zechariah, he says, ye that hear. Now, there's something special about these folks because they have been given the gift of hearing. Ye that hear. Now, most people, and we're going to read here also in the book of Zechariah, that there was a whole lot of those folks that paid no attention to the word of God, no attention to the prophets, no attention to any word that God ever gave them. They turned their head away from it, their ears away from it. It wasn't valuable to them. But here in the book of Revelation chapter 2, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Seven times in chapter 2 and chapter 3 are these words used with regard to somebody that God gives ears to, able to hear what the Spirit says. Now, this is not what the preacher says. This is not what the Sunday school teacher says. This is not what somebody on the street corner says down at the post office. This is what the Spirit says. Now, it takes the grace of God, it takes the mercy of God, and it takes the new birth of God for us to be able to hear the word of the Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Brings out here in chapter 2, verse 7, verse 11, verse 17, verse 29 in chapter 2 alone. These four times we have that. Notice there in verse 11. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God is speaking to those churches, and it's important what God says. God has never spoken without importance lying behind it. He has important words. He has important teachings. He has important message. And the deaf ear, the natural ear, will not hear that. So to have an ear to hear that blessing, to hear the word of God, God has had to give us an ear to hear. Our natural ears are not what God deals with. He's dealing with spiritual. If you look at with me in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 3, we also have those. There's three times in chapter 3 where it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that hath an ear, he that hath an ear that the Spirit has dealt with. Now, over in the book of 1 Corinthians, we have this passage of scripture that explains a lot. Why can I not explain the truth of the gospel, the truth of God, the truth of Christ, the truth of the Bible? Why can I not explain that to my brother? Why can't I explain that to my friend? Why can't I explain that to my mother or my dad? Why can't I explain that to my children? Well, here in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have, it's way beyond that. It is above explanation. We can't just define words and have them expect to believe or to understand it. It is beyond it. Someone said in the Bible study earlier that Craig and I were in, that it's a different language. And that is the truth. It is a different language. It's a spiritual language. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, we have these words written, but the natural man, and that's just the way we're born. We come into this world as natural men, natural women, natural boys, natural girls. We grow up. And here is the problem that we face. Now, if you ever see the grace of God, if you ever see Christ, you will understand that this is a serious problem that we're not able to overcome. We couldn't overcome for ourselves. We can't overcome for someone else. This is a serious problem. Now, when Zechariah was talking over there in the book of Zechariah, ye that have ears, I have a message for you. But ye that don't have ears to hear, you'll not pay attention. And we'll find that it's so prevalent, particularly in the Old Testament, but we find it in the message of the Lord. The God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, is preaching to people, and most people walk away and don't pay any attention to it. Or they'll argue with him. My religion is just fine. My righteousness is just fine. But they'll argue with the Son of God and walk away and say, well, that's just Joseph's son. That's just, oh, I know his sisters, his brother. He's nothing. Well, here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They can't understand it. It is a different language. It's a spiritual language. It's a spiritual language that God only gives the interpretation to in the new birth. He allows us to see spiritual things. He allows us to see in the gospel that that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of his mercy and grace is summed up in this one person who would give himself a ransom for many, for all his people. He says, for they are foolishness unto him. Now it was to me before I was saved, and I visit with people, I visit with my family, I visit with my friends, I visit with people in general, people come to church, people hear us there in the assembly, and it's foolishness. It's just, I don't need that. I'm doing fine by myself. I don't need this sort of thing. Unto him, neither can he know them. There's just no grasping it. The Bible is a spiritual book, and that's why we have so much in our well, it's always been there. It's just, we look at it today, we think it's in our modern times. There's so much emphasis on this doctrine. There's so much emphasis on that country. There's so much emphasis on this work. There's so much emphasis on this. And yet, Christ is left out. There's no preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so serious. Natural man, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned, and that's the problem that Zechariah faced in his day, and that's the problem that was faced by Moses in his day, and that's the problem that was faced by Abel in his day. He could not explain why he did what he did to his brother to make him to understand it. His brother had the same teaching, the same training. And yet he could not make him understand the necessity of a blood sacrifice, the necessity of a sacrifice pointing ahead to the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Jeremiah, there's a couple of verses I'd like to look at as we think about hearing the word of God and how important it is. And it will not be ours to hang on to. We will not have the blessing of it unless we've been given ears to hear. God must give us ears to hear. And even after God saves us and gives us the new birth, after that, we still don't have all understanding about the word of God. We get more understanding as someone teaches us. We get more understanding as we study it and the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. But it's still a revelation. It is still a gift of God. God must give it to us. It's not going to be coming by how much we study the Word of God. It's how intelligent we're going to be coming about the Word of God. Well, here in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 6, would you notice there in Jeremiah chapter 6 with me? There's two verses in Jeremiah chapter 6. I picked the first one because it tells us who is speaking here and who he's speaking about. O ye children of Benjamin, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 1. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa. and set up a sign of fire in Beth Heshemim, for evil appeareth out of the north, gray and great destruction. Now drop down here to verse 10. Verse 10. To whom will I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. Can you just think about that? The word of the Lord is a reproach. It's offensive. It offends me. Now, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ, causes controversy. The preaching of Christ brings division between people. There are those that know the grace of God is a great feast. And to those without Christ, it is offensive to them. It goes on to tell us here, behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Zechariah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and all the Old Testament prophets had the same problem when they began to preach the gospel. There were people that were offended by it. There were people that didn't want to hear it. But God called on them to continue to preach this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye that have ears, I have a special message for you. Ye that have no ears to hear, there's no message for you. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 7, just the next chapter, we have another example of this. Chapter 7 and verse 26. Chapter 7 and verse 26, it says, ye that hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear. You know, as we follow God speaking to Israel in the Old Testament, and he brought up great punishments upon them, did that change their nature? Did the law change their nature? Not one whit. It didn't change them. The only thing that can change us is God. And here, he tells us here in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 26, ye that hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck, they did worse than their fathers. Now, as time went on, we see the comparison. Look at the old fathers. They were really bad, but these were worse. As the prophet Jeremiah noticed here, things didn't get better. Things were continuously in turmoil with these folks. They did not want to hearken. They did, but they would love the name of Abraham. They loved the name of Isaac. They loved the name of Jacob. They loved the name of Hebrew. They loved the name of Jew, but they would not hearken to God. Why? Because they couldn't. God did not give them a heart to believe, a heart to understand. And so it's so important that God gives a hearing ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. It is so important that we have that. Without that, we'll have no comprehension, spiritual understanding of the Word of God. Going back to the book where we've been studying, the book of Zechariah, would you look with me at three verses of scripture in the book of Zechariah that show us the same thing that Zechariah was dealing with? Why in the world do people, when they hear the greatest news in the world, that God put away sin and there is no longer any judgment against his people, why would people not flock to hear that? Because they don't have an ear to hear. God just, they're by nature, we just don't hear what the Spirit says. We must be given that by God. Here in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah was dealing with this very same issue as all the preachers in the Old Testament, all the preachers in the New Testament, and it continues to today. And through this all, we find out that it is only a responsibility given to you and I who hold forth the word of life. It's our responsibility to do that, and God must do the rest. No one else can do that. When somebody says they can, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what it is to be spiritually understood. So here in the book of Zechariah, chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, be ye not as your fathers. Zechariah is dealing with his problem. Unto whom the former prophets, let's just go from Moses to Zechariah. All of the Old Testament prophets, the Psalms, Job. You know, when Job had all those problems, his friend says, well, if you hadn't been so bad, you wouldn't have this problem. That's not what God was teaching Job. And that's not what God teaches us. Well, here it says, the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of heaven has said this. He shouted it from the rooftops. Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord, God of heaven. What's the problem here? Natural man. Now, I've had people say, just recently, a man told me, he says, God will never go any farther than that. If God doesn't go any further than that, you and I are going to be lost. If all he does is call and we don't come, we're lost. We have no hope. We are thankful to Almighty God that he goes beyond that for all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That he goes beyond that. That he gives a call, an effectual call, a call that comes from a regenerated heart. He calls us from darkness to light. He gives us the privilege of hearing the glorious gospel, and our reaction oftentimes is that it's not for me. But God is gracious, and he gives us something that we could not make up on our own. He gives us the new birth, and in that, he gives us hearing ears and seeing eyes. He takes us away from our natural position and places us in a position that we get to hear God. His word is precious. And we find out the whole Bible is speaking about him. The whole Bible speaks of grace. The whole Bible speaks of his sovereignty. It's not just a few verses of scripture, but the entire book is about him. Zechariah chapter 7. Would you look there with Zechariah chapter 7? We have Zechariah dealing with the same issue here. Zechariah chapter 7, and there, we just read this a few weeks ago, but he says, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. This is the problem that Zechariah is facing. But did you hear what we just read there in the book of Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 9? Let's just go ahead one more chapter here. Zechariah chapter 8, there in verse 9. Let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets. Ye that hear these words by the mouth of the prophets. Now, that's an interesting statement, too, because we find that God has worked so wonderfully through his called prophets throughout the Old Testament and his called prophets throughout the New Testament. That God called people that knew something. He gave them the message. Some he trained in the backside of the desert. Some he trained here and some he trained there. But they knew the gospel. God had revealed it to them. And they were as Moses was in the Old Testament, or as Isaiah was, or as Jeremiah, or Obadiah. Any of these prophets that we read through here, these were men that wrote because they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit moved upon them. It says there, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, it says that the Holy Spirit spake. These Old Testament prophets, holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These men were moved by the Holy Ghost to write these things. It is God's word given by God's prophets that he has called. They have heard the message, and now they have something to share. They have something to preach. They have something to give. It is such a blessing to hear Isaiah as he's preaching. He has something to share with the people. Now, nobody wants to pay any of attention, and he sums it up in Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and what to the arm of the Lord hath been revealed? Nobody believes it unless it's revealed. And we're so thankful for that ministry of the Holy Spirit to give us hearing ears, to give us seeing eyes, understanding hearts. He does such a marvelous work in us by regeneration. Those that hear, these are the words of the mouth of the prophets. These are what to be heard. The prophets of this day of Zechariah were writing, wrote by the same director that gave us the New Testament. The same director that gave us all the Old Testament. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. Now, along the same thought, would you turn over with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1? Luke, chapter 1, shares a great deal of information about how we got the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God and the message of the Word of God and the Christ of the Word of God. From the very beginning, the covenant of grace ordained that the Son of God would come and lay down his life for ransom for many. Well, these Old Testament prophets, we'll notice here, they not predicted it, they prophesied of it and stated that it was going to happen just as been determined in the covenant of grace. Here in the book of Luke, though, we stop by there for just a moment. Luke chapter 1. Now drop down towards the bottom, verse 68. Verse 68 of the book of Luke chapter 1. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Keep that in mind as we read the next two verses. He hath visited and hath redeemed his people. Now, this is even before he died on the cross. He visited his people in the Old Testament. He redeemed them on the promise of his redemptive work on the cross. Now, notice the next verse, verse 69. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He has raised up a horn of salvation. This is the Lord. And now the next verse, verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. He spake by his holy prophets. This very message, the message of Christ. The Old Testament prophets had the same message as we do. Christ and him crucified. We look at it in type, shadows, and pictures. We still preach about types and shadows when we have the baptismal service or we have the Lord's Supper. We're preaching Christ and him crucified in both of those. So it's just like going over to the Old Testament. So he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. Well, when we get to the book of Acts, I was stirred, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. Brother Mike brought a lesson there on Matthias. And he brought up this verse of scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 16. It's just such a blessing to read these passages of scripture and find out that God had ordained all his word to be given. And in all his word, he had this as the outline. Natural man is dead, dead, dead. I find it difficult when I run into people that argue with God telling Adam, the day you eat, you shall surely die, and argue that Adam didn't really die completely. Well, God said he died, and he's dead. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Well, notice here in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 16, there is a message here about one of the Lord's disciples, Judas by name. It tells us here, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost. Now, did you notice that? Brother Mike brought that out. I just have to reemphasize that. By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gave the word. It's written in the Psalms. The Holy Ghost gave the Psalms, which the Holy Ghost gave by the mouth of David. Now, David was the prophet. David was the preacher. David was the messenger. But the message was from the Lord. The message was from the Holy Spirit, and that's the way it is today. If it's going to be an effectual message, it must be the message from the Holy Spirit. So we notice here, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Now, you can find fault with Judas, but it was promised in the book of the Psalms that there would be somebody that would betray the Lord of glory. God had determined it to happen that way, and he carried it out just like he determined to do. Judas had a job to do. It was given to him by the Lord, but Judas didn't know the first thing about who he betrayed. Judas did not understand that he was betraying the Lord of glory. He was just a servant in the hands of God. Well, this passage of Scripture just shares with what we find so often in Scripture. In chapter 3 of the book of Acts, would you look there with me, as we find that the ministers of the New Testament brought this up to Old Testament people, to the Jews so often, the Jews that were centered in their religion. And they brought up, it was the Holy Spirit that was given these words. This is not just the word of Isaiah. This is not just the word of Jeremiah. This is not just the word of Moses. Or this isn't the word of David. This is the word of the Holy Spirit. And here in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 18, we have that. And that's what Zechariah is dealing with. Hear the prophets. Hear the word of the prophets. The prophets are of God. They're bringing the message. They're bringing the message that God intended to come down here for you to hear. But, verse 18, but those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets. Did you notice that? Every prophet in the Old Testament had something to say about this subject. That Christ should suffer, he hath also fulfilled. All by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer. Did you know that Moses wrote of the suffering Christ? Did you know that Jeremiah wrote of the suffering Christ? Joshua wrote of the suffering Christ? All of these Old Testament prophets, they spoke of a suffering Savior, someone that would come and do what nobody else could do. The Son of God would come and suffer at the hands of a holy God for our sins. It was God placed on him, imputed to him our sins, and has now blotted all of them out. I heard tonight, it was just such a blessing. It hadn't been long ago that we mentioned just briefly about that woman taken in adultery. Why didn't he accuse her? Because her sins were blotted out. He took care of that. What a blessing. He took care, blotted their sins out. So he'll not have, nobody can bring a charge against God's elect. Why? He blotted their sins out. Well, look. Let's look here at another place in the book of Acts chapter 28. The prophets, these men of old, these men writing during the New Testament times, they're writing by inspiration. God's Holy Spirit is bringing them this message. In the book of Acts chapter 28, and they're beginning with verse 24, Acts chapter 28, verse 24. It says, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Isn't that interesting? That's about the commentary on the Bible, isn't it? Some believed and some didn't. Why? Because God revealed it to some, and he didn't reveal it to others. That's just the way it is. If God intended for everybody to be saved, he would reveal his Son to everyone. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Who wrote that? The prophet Isaiah wrote that. How did he write that? By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's this book that we hold. It is so precious. It is God's word. The Holy Spirit gave it to the Old Testament prophets. The Holy Spirit gave it to the New Testament writers. He gave them the message of God. And here we have some that did not hear. They had saw but did not perceive. They heard but didn't understand. And that's just the way it is. But that doesn't give us the time to stop. We must continue to preach the gospel. So, and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews for just a moment. Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. How delightful it is to go read the book of Leviticus and come to the book of Hebrews and say, oh, here's what it means. Now, a lot of people want to read something in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Revelation, and go to the Old Testament and prove it. But the church goes to the Old Testament and comes to the New Testament and see what it means. And the book of Leviticus is understood by reading the book of Hebrews. It has the meaning there. Christ is the issue. Well, here in the book of Hebrews, what a glorious book this book is. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And there in verse 5, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "And Moses barely was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of these things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as the Son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." That's a heart check right there. Verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith." Now, when we read about this passage of Scripture in the book of the Psalms, let's remember the Holy Ghost spoke. It was the Holy Ghost's words. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. The Holy Ghost spoke this. It was the Holy Ghost. Oh, how glorious are those Old Testament scriptures, and Zechariah is no exception. One other passage I'd like to read along this very line is found over in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. Along the same line, what's the Old Testament about? Here it is, summed up by the Apostle Peter. The Holy Spirit gave him these words. "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They did not have the privilege of choosing their own words." That would be an error, because they would allow words to come in that God never intended. What did he do? He gave them. He breathed out his words. Now, how he did it in their mind or spoke in their ear, I don't completely understand this, but I do know this, that the Holy Spirit gave the word of God to these men. And it says here in Hebrews chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Now back up to verse 10. "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, search diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of the Christ and the glory that should follow." That's the message of the Old Testament. The preaching of the gospel, the suffering of Christ on the behalf of his people, and the glory of his resurrection. That is declared. So as Zechariah brought out there in the book of Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 9, "Oh, hear those prophets. Ye that hear, hear the prophets, what they have to say, because their word is very important." Now, would you turn back there for just a few moments? Our time is just about up, but I'd like to squeeze in a couple more verses. The book of Zechariah chapter 8, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 10. It says here, "For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction." Now that's some perilous times going on here. There's no hire for a man, no hire for a beast. Now notice the rest of that verse of Scripture. "For I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor." What's the reason for this? I don't know the reason, but I know who purposed it. I know it was God that purposed this. Oh, everybody think we're just going to go plow our ground and everything's going to turn out fine. God said, I brought adversity. I brought adversity. It was me that brought adversity. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's what he does. That's God. Now, I'm not going to try to understand it because I'm not God, but I know God has complete understanding about everything he's ever purposed to do. Now, one other verse here, verse 11, but now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. What a wonderful statement he makes about the residue, the remnant, according to the election of grace. I'll not treat them like the rest. I make special provision for these. I have special provision in my covenant of grace. I have special provision in my Lamb's Book of Life. I have special provision in the prophets that come. They're going to go and preach the gospel. One old prophet, he was so downcast because he felt like he was the last one. He was the end of the line. And the Lord spoke to him and says, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. God protected his people and protected his word. Now in verse 12, and we're going to read this, but we'll come back to this next time, Lord willing. For the seed, this is a demonstration of his grace. For the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit. The ground shall give her increase, and the heaven shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Now that is a verse of scripture. The demonstration of God's grace to his remnant. All here. Now, we can look at that from a physical standpoint, how he takes care of us, but my, what a spiritual verse of scripture we have there. And we, Lord willing, we'll look at that next time and see some of those. His seed, God's seed, scattered out to the winds of the world, some on good ground, some on this ground, some on that ground, some on this ground. But it's that seed, that good seed that comes forth out of the good ground. That's the seed we're going to talk about. Shall be prosperous. It shall be prosperous. It will accomplish that whereunto he sent it. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. It's a blessing to see you. And it's a blessing to just look into this book of Zechariah and rejoice in the goodness that this old prophet had for the church, even today, that he would bring these things up and follow the very purpose of God, plan of God, and he would be obedient to write the scriptures as we read.